You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or K&E World Network, LLC.
TalkTainmentRadio.com, and you're listening to Stairway to Heaven. Today is a dedication to my daughter Antoinette Smith, and she just passed away. And I'm your host, Dr. Claude Smith, and my co-host, Mr. Gregory Fly. And today we are going to dedicate this program to her and my family. Antoinette was 41 years old when she passed away. She leaves a son, Sakar Smith, sisters Maggie Smith, Victoria Smith, Priscilla Bryant, Victoria Bryant, and Trisha Bryant. And she followed by her mother, Della Bryant. Antoinette was very cheerful and very happy person. I mean, she did the things she would help anybody, and everybody just, one thing about her, everybody loved her macaroni and cheese. They was crazy about that macaroni and cheese. Every time they go see her, go out, they wanted to make that macaroni and cheese. I know she probably picked it up from her mother. But, you know, sometimes in life, you know, I mean, at 41 years old is a very, very young age for a young lady, you know, pass away like that. And she was in a coma from February up until now. My daughter was a cheerful and loving person, and she would call, and we would talk, have conversations. And sometimes we'd be joking around, and the first thing she would tell me, "Pop, you know, we gonna fight." And not really, she just tell me that, "We gonna fight." And we really didn't fight, we talked a lot. Antoinette was a tremendous person, very young lady. And every time when her mother and I had separated and I went on the road, started playing with professional gospel groups, came back here, and she had grown up to be a beautiful young lady, and she was a beautiful young lady, and so she had, sometimes things wouldn't go well for her. And she thought she was all alone. I had to tell her that she wasn't all alone. Somebody was always there with her. So this program is for her to her and the rest of the family to dedicate to her and her son Sakar. And hopefully that, you know, a lot of you young, let me say this to all you young ladies out there and young boys and young ladies, young men and ladies, that, you know, whatever you are, whatever you do, always believe in God and keep your hand in God's hand. And it's just like, it's a terrible loss to lose your baby sister. You know, our children are supposed to take care of us until our time come. But sometimes God makes no mistake. You know, he has when he once call a person home, he calls a person home. Bishop?
Yes, let's have a word of prayer. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, we come to you and give you praise. Once again, we honor you. Lord, we bow in submission to your will. We don't always understand, but we trust you. And Father, we ask, Lord, a special prayer for the Smith and Bryant family today. Lord, that you may continue to lift them up and hold them up before you. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I know their hearts are broken, but you are a heart fixer. You can mend the broken hearts, because that's what you said in your word. And Lord, and we declare hearts being mended even right now, and relationships being restored in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, we ask, Lord, that you may bless this dad, Strengthen him, Lord, in a mighty way. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And we the family, you know, appreciate, you know, thank you for everything. You know, we appreciate for y'all to stand by us and everything. Although my good friend, we had put it away. And, you know, this is time for me to give her a dedication. So, Antoinette, if you're listening, if you're watching down over your dad to dedicate this program to you. And now she asked me to do something, and I'm always going to keep that. She asked me for something to do, and I'm going to keep that promise that she asked me to be with. And I'm going to keep that promise that I'm going to be working on real hard that it goes on. Bishop?
Yes. Brother Smith, tell me a little bit about Antoinette as she was a teenager, as she was growing up.
Well, she was growing up, she was a young kid, just doing a teenage thing, you know. Mm-hmm. Like I said, half the time I wasn't there, but they would call me when I was in Texas, when I had living in Texas. They would call me and let me know what was going on. They say that she was very, very cheerful, very happy, and she, you know, got along with a whole lot of friends. And she had friends that, you know, they just hung around. I remember times when, let me go back. I remember times when she was staying in Pondex. I wasn't here, but I guess her mom had separated and everything. But she had a little, about her being about maybe, think about 4 or 5 years old, you know, little girls around, they don't know about no boyfriends and stuff like that. Say she used to go down to the neighbor's house and go get this little boy, and they come sit on the bench holding hands together like they two grown people. And I saw that picture and I said, I'll be doggone. I said, she's starting already, I have a boyfriend. But she was one of a beautiful person, and
yes.
She was loving and caring and everything. Mm-hmm. And you know, she would talk to me, I would talk to her. After I married my second wife, here, and she was at the wedding, and I had a cookout, and she came over, and she had a nice time at the cookout. I mean, she was just the type of person that, I mean, we loved each other, we were close.
Okay.
But the one thing about it, she was always like to start an argument with me.
Okay.
I wonder, what have I done? And she just pop, blah, 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 pop this, pop that. And I say, okay, baby, we can, you know, reconcile this now.
Okay.
And then one time, she pulled a gun gang on me. And I wondered, she said, Pop, I say, what? How much you love me? I said, I love you, baby, that's baby. Why you ask me that? Well, you see, can I get $30? And I got to thinking about it. I said, I'm gonna play a little game on her and let her know I had it, but I didn't want her to know I had it on me. So I played a little game on her and everything. I said, you know, this is the little girl's game. They're gonna play, they kind of ease up to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, this is the little girl's game, so we're gonna play along with it. I told her I didn't have it. So I said, I'll try to get it for you sometime today. And I waited for about 15 minutes. And then I call. I say, well, you can, I have it. I say, my friend gave it to you. Oh, good. I say, let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you a little story. I said, I had it on me all the time when you call. So you come down. And then she say, you know what, Bob? I say, what? She said, we're going to fight. I say, do we always have to fight every time we talk? We're going to fight, Bob. I'm going to let you know who's who. We're going to fight. But I know deep down, we wasn't really going, like I said before, we wasn't going to really hit each other and do anything. She just said that. But like I said, she was a sweet, charming young lady. And I know through the teenage years, she was sweet and young. And at the time she got in eighth grade, something happened to her in eighth grade. And that's when she, you know, when you're in high school, you get to mess around with little boys, and she had dropped out of school in eighth grade. But she was smart, and she had wisdom and everything. And she was a caregiver for helping senior citizens and stuff like that. And she called me to go to church with her one time, and I went to meet her at the church, and she didn't show up because she was sick, so she didn't show up. So, but that's how Antoinette was. She was sweet and charming, beautiful lady.
But she sound like a young woman that really loved her dad, and didn't mind, talking stuff to him. So, a lot of times, I have four daughters.
Uh-huh.
And, sometimes we go round and round.
Uh-huh.
And I have one daughter, she tells me, well, Dad, you better watch out how you talk to me, because I'm the one that got to make decisions for you.
Uh-huh.
And I say, no, you don't.
Uh-huh.
No. She said, well, I'm going to put you in the nursing home. I said, no, you're not. I'm going to come and live with you.
Uh-uh.
Yeah, so I understand what you're saying. But tell me a little more about, what type of music does she like?
She liked the old school music, and which I don't have none of. I didn't get to get none of her music to bring with her, but she liked some old school, and then she liked some gospel, stuff like that.
So she liked the old school Motown stuff?
Yeah, she liked some of the Motown stuff, and she liked Patti LaBelle, which I seen some of her music and everything. She liked Patti LaBelle, and she liked and some other artists, I could think of. I never got into it, and she had a talent. She could sing.
Okay.
And I tried to get her to come out, get out, and use her talent, come and express herself in the public like I did.
Mm-hmm.
But she never did. She never did it. She stayed to herself, raised her son like a good mother should, and then she had gotten married, and then that didn't work out too well. So. But she just carried on. I mean, she was a very, very strong lady. Even through sickness, she was a very strong lady. She didn't give up. She was fighting. She fought hard to come back. She mm-hmm. really, she fought very hard to come back. She fought till the time of her death. And it's just that when you're a strong person, you're going to fight. And she fought to stay where she tried to stay here with us. But her body was tired and was weak, and she couldn't fight no more.
Okay.
That's how I was.
Well, we know we are assured that she has a new body with no pain, no sickness, no more death, no heartaches, no more crying. She has a new body. So we praise God that He promises us a new body when this one wears out.
Yeah, and I know she's probably enjoying her new body and flying around up in heaven and everything, because she was also with the sickness. She was obese, and she had that asthma and everything, but what caused her death was an infection with the trach. That's what caused mm-hmm. her, that's okay. And the infection had built up in her body, and that's what swelled her up. And, well, she was just one heck of a lady, heck of a young lady to be herself. But as I said before, but like, if she wasn't, she was here today, and by us doing the show, I would try to get her up here and tell us, give her a little recipe on her macaroni and cheese. So I would do that. And if she was here today, I would, trying to get her brothers and sisters to call in and say something about it, but I'm gonna have to tell them, which you can't get a hold of. They probably radio mic shy and radio shy, whatever it is. But next time I'll try to get them to call in and say what they want to say about her. For those who want to join in our conversation, give us a call at 614-817-5588, Bishop.
Yes. I just want to remind everybody that this show is dedicated to Antoinette Smith, the daughter of Brother Smith, who lost her battle, but she won because she went to be with the Lord. So we just want to dedicate this show to her. And if you have some words about her, if you knew her, well, then please give us a call. We're anxious to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, we're very anxious to hear what you have to say. Also, let me give my shout out before we continue. I'd like to give the Core Lab, give them a shout out to people out there on Roundtree, out there on Roundtree off of Schrock Road, and I'll give my shout out to them and my wife and the rest of the family, the Smith family and the Bryant family, the Fells, and everybody that's part of Anthony. I'll give a shout out to the whole family, even the cousins that she had in Cincinnati and aunts she had down there, and her two brothers, Claude Jr. and Justin Smith. And like you said, if you want to give us say anything, let us know. We'll give you a call. Give us a call and say what you, if you have a few words to say, say what you have to say, to what you want to say. We would very, very appreciate it, what you had to say. But it's like a, this dedication is to Antoinette Alberta Smith. When she was born, I gave her, she had four names. Her name was Antoinette Alberta Della Smith. But she dropped one because she said it was too much. Della was her mother's name, and it was too much for her. And that's just the way it is. And so she dropped one, just went with Antoinette Alberta Smith. And so Alberta came after my sister Beverly Smith, the late Beverly Smith. Her name was Beverly Alberta Smith, so I just added Alberta on that to her birth certificate.
Okay.
And that's how we got together. But like I said, this is, I mean, it's right now it's kind of hard for me to say anything.
Oh, I understand.
You know, and I'm fighting within myself. But, you know, like you said, God knows who he wants to, call home. And I know the Lord's given her her just reward. Although we all are not perfect down here, but, you know, by the forgiveness that he has given her and let her come home to be with us. And she's probably see her mom up there with her mom, and her and her mom once together. And it probably was a great grand reunion for her, for them to see each other, you know, for all this time. So Antoinette, you know, this is from Dad. And we love you. I love you. I'll miss you. Sorry we won't get to have the fights or anything like we used to have, but you know, it hurts when you're not there. And I guess to all parents who have to go down and look down on their daughters and sons for the last time, and it gets to, now I know how it feels when you have to look out on your own child. I know how it feels now, because you never know when you're going to have to pass this way again. You never know.
You know, and that is so true. And I'd like to encourage everyone to take care of yourself, eat the right foods, and do the exercise that you need to do. And by all means, you know, we have COVID out here, and it's taking people far, far too early. And I just want to encourage you to do what you know is right to protect yourself and the ones that you love. And we all have an expiration date. We came here with appointed time. God has extended our time on this earth, and so because he has done that, we have to still prepare to leave. So death is a part of life. The Bible lets us to know that life is like a vapor, and that the memory of life is like the little vapor that's in the air, that smells lingers on even after the person is gone. And so that's what we're talking about today with Antoinette. We're talking about the smell that lingers on, those things that gave joy, those things that that her dad will never forget about her, because she will always be in his heart. So I want to talk to the young people. Young people, do some things now, some good things, that your family be able to say, well, you know, he did that, he did the other, well, she did this, and she was doing some great things. Make your family proud of you, but most of all, be proud of yourself and make the Lord proud.
Yes, please do that. And young people, also like to have young people. There's nothing, I'm going to say this, and Antoinette knew this because she raised her son the way to be more respectful and everything. And she kept him out. I know it was a hard fight. She raised him by herself, but he kept a straight level head, and he stayed out of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And when you got, like my mother did, it was just me and my three sisters, and she raised me, and I know I was kind of hard and knucklehead, but she did the best she can until she got, until she met my stepfather. But the young people, I like to say this to you, there's nothing, if Antoinette was here, she would tell you, there's nothing out there but trouble, hardcore trouble.
You know, Brother Smith, it's kind of hard to imagine you being a knucklehead.
Yeah, I was a knucklehead. I was a knucklehead. But even my wife, you know, I'm dedicating, I'm gonna make this dedication to my wife. Then I'll say, I'm gonna say this. I was a knucklehead, and you know, I did things that you know Mom didn't like, but she took care of it. And I'm glad she did, because if she didn't, I'd probably be in the bars with a number across my shirt.
Okay.
But thank God I didn't. I had a number. I had a shirt on, but it says United States Army with my name on the right
Hallelujah.
Side and the Army on the left side.
Hallelujah.
So, you know, it was hard for me. It was hard for her when I made that decision to go, and I went on and did it anyway, but I'm telling you, for the young people, you know, do something like Bishop says, and do something, and I say together, do something to make your parents happy, because it's hard when you got to go downtown into City Hall, you're on the outside looking in, seeing your son behind bars, or daughter behind bars because of something she did. And I'm saying this in behalf of Antoinette, too, that whatever you do, watch your friends, because your friends are not always your friends, and they will try to do everything they can to influence you to do the wrong things and do the right thing. But like, she was a God-fearing woman, and she loved the Lord, and she knew the Lord, but she did what she had to do. But she kept her son safe and kept her son on her watch. And she taught him very, very well. He's very, very well. And I'll say this, that even though when I was on the bus, we riding the bus, and I see Antoinette and Sakaar together, and he would leave his mom and come sit right under me, real, real close. And that me and that young man right now, I'm the only, he got aunts and uncles. But, you know, I text and call him, or I have him to call me. I call him and say, Papa, I'm sorry I was asleep. I say, well, don't worry about it. You know, I just want to see how you're doing. But once him and I are going to have a real serious talk once we get together, because I'm not his mom, but I'm going to try to pick up where his mother left off at mm-hmm. and try to keep him encouraged and keep him straight yeah. and keep him strong.
Yes.
Because I'm one who really, truthfully, and hopefully there's nothing out here, hope and pray that I can get him in the military where he can go see the world, and maybe in the military help him make something of himself and out of himself. And that's what I'm looking for, Bishop.
So as your daughter began to get ill and she built up this infection, and the family kind of understood that, except the Lord stepped in, that this day was coming. Did you notice a closeness of the family coming together even the more?
I did. I noticed the family got closer together. Even the two sisters had gotten closer together. Mm-hmm. They was at her bedside, and I was there too. I had stood back and watched her, and she looked up. Her and I was watching eye to eye, and she looked at me and said, Dad, Dad, I'm getting ready to leave here.
Uh-huh.
And I looked and I told her, I said to myself, baby, fight. I said, fight after that, fight. Fight hard, baby, fight. And she fought to her last breath. She fought to her last breath. Mm-hmm. And she slowly closed her eyes and closed away. But I did try to notice a closeness in the family. And I noticed a closeness. Because, you know, you can be close. And when death comes, death sometimes tear the family. It break it closer. And in the meanwhile, it will tear a family apart. They're having each other's throats. And I never, there was a little irrelative there. irregularly there, and I did not, got to thinking after I did it, you know, I felt bad for myself. And when we went to the funeral, I was sitting in one chair, my daughter's in there, my grandson, he's sitting next to me, and mm-hmm. I went and hug my oldest daughter, and let her know that, hey, I love you. You call me and let me know what's going on.
You know, Brother Smith, we led in with standing in the need of prayer, mm-hmm. and that's what the family needs. We have to keep families up before the Lord and keep one another up before the Lord, mm-hmm. Because these are some turbulent times, and death seem to be all around. I heard today that, again, over 700,000 people have lost their lives to COVID. But, you know, she lost her life to a sickness, but it's okay. She's at peace now. She's in a place, like I said before, where there is no sickness and there is no suffering. Because we never know the relationship that she had with the Lord, because she laid on a bed in a coma, and we don't know what went on between her and God. But I do know this one thing, that he said he would never leave us nor forsake us.
Yes, he and I believe that with all my heart. That, and as you say, I don't know what, because when I went there to see her, it was looked like it was a spot on the wall in that room that she would look at all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It was a spot. Then I didn't see what she was looking at, but I think probably was the Lord. Probably was she's looking at that one spot on that wall, and. And it seemed like I talked to her. I say, you got to get up and fight. We got to get up and fight. I said, because I need you. Dad got some things he wants you to help him to do. And every time I went in that room, she'd look at this, that one spot in that room she would look at. And I don't know what it is. Some people say it's a light that they be looking at or something else, but there's something there that she was watching. And she must have knew her time was coming to an end by looking at that one spot. And like as you said before, Lord knew what he was doing, and I can't have to go along with that.
Amen.
And have to agree with that.
We have to bow in submission to his will.
Yes.
Because his will be done regardless of whether we bow to it or not, but it makes it easier for us when we submit to his will.
Yes, it is. And my mother was like that also when she passed away. And I go to her to see her when in Cincinnati. She was at Jewish Hospital in Cincinnati when I went to see her. Mm-hmm. She was there. It's something that when a person knows it's time to go home, I guess they be just laying there waiting, saying, Lord, I'm ready to come home. You know, I'm waiting on you to come get me. So I think that's what probably what was with her when she's looking at that one spot. On the wall. Okay. Right here, we are going to let you to, we're going to wrap it up here. And I'd like to say to all you YouTube fans and TV, this is Bass Dr. Bass Claude Smith and Bishop Fry. We'll see you next time on YouTube. Thank you. But it's standing in the need.
My name is Al Edmondson. I'm a business owner and community organizer. I want to encourage you to visit the King Lincoln District, our community. It's a great place to live, work, and worship. Catch a show at the Lincoln Theater. Enjoy smooth jazz at the King Arts Complex. Enjoy great food and visit our historical churches and newly remodeled homes. Live, work, and worship the King Lincoln District.
Our government doesn't seem to care that 9 million children have no health insurance, even though every dollar spent immunizing children against illness saves more than $16 in medical costs to make them better. Doesn't anyone see? We're wasting money and allowing children to get sick.
I am Susie Flynn. A vote for me is a vote for the 9 million uninsured children.
9 million uninsured children need a solution now. For more information, go to electsusie.com.
I was diagnosed with type 1 diabetes at age 33, with not one day off since. But JDRF has my back, funding research toward a cure, prevention, and treatments that really help the millions like me to have a better life. The scientists funded by JDRF test themselves every day so that someday I won't have to. Join us. Your help is our hope. JDRF, improving lives, curing type 1 diabetes.
Green, green, green. It's our home, it's our dream. For a life that's healthy and clean, make it green, green, green.
My mom said making it green is making sure the air in your home is healthy for your family to breathe. Make sure you test your home for radon. It's easy. Just call 866-730-GREEN.
Make it green, green, green.
A message from the US EPA.
Hello, this is Dr. Bass from Talk Tape Radio, and this is, welcome to Stairway to Heaven. Joe's Dr. Bass Crossman, co-host Bishop Black. And we had just did a dedication to my daughter, and Antoinette Alberta Smith, and she had passed away. She's gone home with the Lord. And right now, I'm going to give this to, I'm going to turn this over to Bishop, but I'd like to bring Bishop up on one song. That would be I Can't Give Up by Lee Williams. And after that, then you'll hear Bishop. Then you'll hear Bishop will take over for today. Okay, Bishop.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. We praise the Lord for another day that He has blessed us to see. And we're so happy in God because His word is full of promises. And tonight I want to talk about the subject me, M-E. And I want to just kind of read to you a little bit from the book of Psalms 51. And we're going to kind of discuss this a little bit. And then we would welcome any questions that you have or any comments that you have. And you can do that. You can phone us at 614-817-5588 or 614-601-2046. That's my cell number. You can call us there. But in the book of Psalms, Brother Smith, 51, it says, we read, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness, according unto thy multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities and cleanse me from my sins. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest the truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be cleansed. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out my iniquities." In verse number 10, it says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew the right spirit within me." Now, when we look at this, we see that this is a song of David. And David was a man that fought Goliath. He was a man that was considered a man after God's own heart. He was a man that took care of the sheep. He was a man that that became the king of Israel. And so the question is begged to ask, David, what happened? What are you saying about transgressions and sin? What happened to you? How did you get out of this grace with God? And so when we go back and we look, we find out that one day David, he was at the palace. Israel was at war, and he went out on the porch. And when he went out on the porch, he looked over the kingdom and he saw a young woman who was bathing, and he wanted her. He wanted her, and he had his servants to go get her. And they told him that she was married, but he wanted her anyway. So they brought her to him, and he laid with her, and he got word later on that she conceived. So then he had to cover this thing up. You know, sometimes the cover up is worse than the sin. And so in doing the cover up, he had her husband killed, had him put on the front line, so that he would not make it. And he thought that because that happened, that everything was all right and that he had covered it up and that God didn't know about it. You know, sometimes we have secret sin and we think God don't understand and God don't know about it, but God sees everything. He knows our thoughts even before we know them. And so when he did that, the Bible lets us to know that all of a sudden, here comes the prophet named Nathan. Nathan came and began to talk to David. But when he talked to David, he had to let David know he respected David as a king, because even though he was a prophet, David was the king. And David had the power to have his head taken off or had him killed. So Nathan began to tell David a story. He says, "David, there was a man, a rich man and a poor man that lived in the same city. And this rich man had sheep and he had herds and he had a multitude of things. But this poor man only had two sheep, and he loved those sheep. He raised those sheep. But because the rich man had a traveler to come in, instead of him going to his own flock and getting the sheep out of there, getting the lamb and dressing it and feeding him, He took from the poor man's two sheep. He took one of them, and David was outraged. He said, "No, he shall give it back four times, and not only that, but he shall be killed." And then the prophet turned and said, "David, that man is you."
Yes, I remember. So I remember seeing the story of that movie about David. David was sort of a wise man, mm-hmm. sort of wise, and You know, it seemed like when he, when the two ladies were fighting over, I believe, if, correct me if I'm wrong, it was about the two women, about the baby. And
no, no, this was about David having an affair.
Oh, okay.
With a married woman.
Okay, well, yeah, we all have dark sins. Excuse my, we all have dark sins, and when David did have that, I saw that part where he did have that affair with that woman, and he sent her husband out to the front lines.
Had, sent him to the front lines and had him killed.
Yeah, had him killed. But let me pause right, stop right there on that front, about the front line for a minute. Most of us, you know, that when we do something wrong, and if it's like, it sounds like somebody, I'm gonna bring it today, it's like, you're doing the best you can, and all of a sudden you fall off the train. I'm going to use that expression.
Okay.
You fall off the train, and you know that it's not yours.
Mm-hmm.
But still, you go after it.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it don't belong to you, you still going to try. Because you don't have it, you're going to try to take it from them. And what David had, by what David doing, committing that sin, I call it a secret, deep down, secret dark sin that probably, he probably had just now came to service. And this woman, this young lady must have been very beautiful to him and attracted to him.
Well, she was a very beautiful woman. That's what got his attention. But the thing that fueled this cover-up was the fact that her husband was on the front line. He had been at war for some months, and all of a sudden she's at home, and she comes up pregnant. So David was trying to get him to come home first. He wasn't going to kill him. He was just trying to get him to come home and lay with his wife. And if he would lay with his wife, then, you know, the child would be considered his. But he had so much loyalty for Israel and so much love for David, he refused to even go home. He said, I'm not going home. As long as we're at war, why should I lay in pleasure with my wife and Israel's at war? And he wouldn't do it. So when she came up pregnant, David had to do something, and that's what he did. He put him on the front line.
Okay.
He tried to cover up. Then they had a child. She conceived and had this child. And the child got sick. And David, he would pray for this child, and he would call forth all of the people that were supposed to know God and to pray for this child. And David would he wouldn't eat, he wouldn't clean himself up because he was trying to get God's attention. But the child died, and when the child died, David said, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." So he cleaned himself up and he went to the house of the Lord. And this is where we find this prayer in Psalms 51, that he began to say, "Oh Lord, have mercy upon me according to thy loving kindness, according to thy tender mercies and multitude of thy tender mercies." Isn't that something, how when, you know, we can do something so bad, but we want the Lord to have mercy on us according to his tender mercies and according to his loving kindness?
Yes. Yeah, that is. When you do something so bad, you can do so bad, and you run to the Lord, you should have ran to him before it happened.
Yeah.
Okay. Here come with the song. He's got a, and we this is Lee Williams, and I Can't Give Up.
You see, somebody else here know you. You come too far to turn around now. One more thing. See, I've come too many. Yeah.
Okay, that's Lee Reeves. I can't turn around. Bishop, you can go ahead and continue.
So David began to fall on the mercy of God. And he's saying, you know, thou desireth truth. So I'm being open, and you already know what I've done. I've sinned against you, and against you only have I sinned. And David said, but I need you to create in me a clean heart. Now, man does not have the ability to create, because to create, you're making something from nothing, and only God can do that. But man has the ability to make. So he makes something from something that's already existing. An example, when they make brick and they use mud or they use dirt, that already existed. But when God said, let there be light, there was no light then, but it became light. When God said, when he put the moons and the moon and the stars in the sky, he did that from nothing. He did that with his word. He spoke it and it happened. And one thing that I found out that God, whenever he gets ready to do something, he speaks it first. And that's what prophets supposed to do, Brother Smith. Prophets supposed to point us back to the original intent of God. But we find that we're living in the day and time where prophets are saying, you know, everybody getting a new car, everybody getting a new job, everybody getting a new house, you know. But that's not so. That's not what they're supposed to be saying. And, you know, the prophets of old, they weren't always the most popular people. They weren't, people weren't glad to see them because most of the time they had bad news. But David said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. David recognized that he had got out of his safe lane and was in another lane. He was thinking another way, different than the righteousness of God, and he was asking the Lord to help him. And you know what? Our actions come from our heart.
I feel that your actions do come from your heart, and some of the words are even come from your heart, which you put from your mouth. But we have to be careful about what we say, because sometimes you may say something that's not, that you really didn't mean, come from the top of your head sometimes. But we really definitely got to be careful with what we say and what we do and what comes out of our mouths and from our heart, because the things that I may have said that really didn't mean nothing, and it really don't mean that, it really didn't come from my heart. Then things I have said that really came from my heart. And most of the stuff that comes from my heart are the most kind and gentle things, and that's what I try to keep it that way.
Well, you know, now David, I'm sure he didn't think that he had this in his heart. I'm sure, because he was a man that loved God. There was no question of David's love toward God, but he found that there was still a dark part of him that that would do this thing, but he didn't recognize it, or I'm sure he didn't, else he would have tried to do something about it. But circumstances, and you know what, when we go through tests and we go through trials and we go through our circumstances will let you know where you're at.
Right, and circumstances will always show you where you're at. And that circumstance, sometimes you get in a situation where circumstances don't pay off.
Oh, absolutely.
And then that's the bad part. But the good part about circumstances, they show you when you're wrong sometimes, and they also show you when you're right. Mm-hmm. And you got to be very, very careful about what situation or the circumstances that you're involved in. I'm asking people to forgive me because I'm still in grieving over my daughter's death. But anyway, we have to take things just like David did, go back and repent and ask the Lord for forgiveness of what we've done.
We have to repent. That's one of the graces that God has given us, the ability to repent. David even said, after he said, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew the right spirit within me, he said, cast me not away from thy presence. He didn't want to be away from God. And take not thy Holy Spirit from me. You know, it's the Holy Ghost that help us to get over hard things. in our life. It's the Holy Ghost that pushes us past the circumstances and allow us to achieve in Him that we cannot achieve on our own. It even helps us with forgiveness. It helps us in sorrow. The Holy Ghost does, because that's the presence of God on the inside of us. Mm-hmm. And I'm a witness that even in the midst of sorrow, He can still give us joy.
And I'm beginning to feel it myself. I have to take this sorrow that I have and try to turn it over, flip it over into something joyful.
Mm-hmm.
But David, I believe David was going through some things, and the temptation got a hold of him, and when this happened and things that he went through, I say, been clean himself. I believe that was sort of like sort of a little self pity, until he had. Sometimes the Lord, I was told, sometimes the Lord will let you go there, and to see who you are and what they didn't know. Well, you left me to do this, but now you suffer, and then finally, when you wake up, you go back and say, "Hey, forgive me."
Well, you know, the first place that David wanted to go after all of this was over. Well, it wasn't quite over, but the baby died.
Mm-hmm.
So the first place he wanted to go, let me go to church.
Mm-hmm.
Because at church, I can find myself. I can find God. I can get help. You know, when I was coming up, when I got saved, I was 22 years old. And it was a bunch of young people. It was about 28 ministers. We would congregate. Mm-hmm. And we looked for reasons to go to church. You know, if there was no service, we created a service to go to church so we could, you know, that was our life.
Mm-hmm.
That was our life. We didn't have as many distractions as young people have today. But here, David said, let me just get to church. Then he said unto the Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. See, without the joy of the Lord, we have no strength.
Mm-hmm.
So after David asked for a clean heart, Lord, don't push me out of your presence. No matter what you do, you can take everything I have, but don't take me from your presence. Then he says, Lord, I need joy. Because you know what? If we have joy, when we talk about the Lord and we have joy in what God has done for us and what he's doing and what we believe he's going to do, that helps us to get past a lot of things. Joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Sometimes you have to tell yourself that over and over and over and over. The joy of the Lord is my strength. He didn't say the happiness, because happiness changes from one moment to the next. You can be happy now. 10 minutes later, you could be unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
But joy is a constant. It comes from deep within, and it's a God-given feeling.
Beautiful. It is beautiful. It is a God-given feeling. And when you have joy, things just kind of just lightens up. And it really lightens up and takes all the world, the weight that's on your shoulders off of you.
Mm-hmm.
And it lifts you and it makes you climb like you want, like I say, cloud nine, as everybody say, walk on the clouds and don't look back.
Well, you know, sometime in this life, we have things that happen to us that's not so easy to get over. Some by our own doing, some by the doing of others. But whatever life puts our way, we have the grace of God to help us through. Even though David did this terrible thing, God did not fire him from being king. He said, I'm not going to fire you. I'm not going to take the kingdom away from you. You're going to have some trouble with your family, but I'm not going to take the kingdom away from you. You're going to still be king. But your sons are going to come after you, and it'll be a sword over your house, but you're going to still be king.
Yeah, that's true. This is something new to me. Right? I didn't know that happened, but in a way, I heard a little bit that had happened,
mm-hmm.
that his sons had turned against him. And I wonder what made the sons turn against him, you know.
Because they wanted the kingdom. You know, they felt that they could do a better job ruling. His one son, he would stand on the outside of the palace. And when David would make a ruling, he would say, you know, if you had came to me, I would have ruled in your favor. Mm-hmm. I would have did a better job. But he was not chosen. David was chosen as the king of Israel. He was out watching his father's sheep when Jesse, when the prophet came, and the prophet was looking for a particular young man. And when Jesse brought all of his sons before the prophet Samuel was saying, no, no, that's not the one. You got to have another one. He said, oh, yeah, here's one, a little scrawny little boy, smell like sheep because he was out there. But he had fought the lion and he had fought the bear. Mm-hmm. And he was the one that came up. And so when Samuel saw him, he anointed him king because they had the Lord had rejected Saul as being king. And God anointed David as king. But he didn't get the kingdom right then. You know, sometimes God has some things for us that we got to catch up with that he don't give us to us right away. It belonged to us, mm-hmm. just like your daughter. Mm-hmm. Your daughter, when she asked you for the $30, mm-hmm. you considered it hers because she was going to give it to her. But she had to come and get it.
Right.
You weren't taking it to her. And that's the same thing with God. God puts us in a position where we have to come and get. We have to seek him. We have to long for him. That's what he wants. He wants us to long for him. And we do that during our worship time, and during our praise time. We, you know, there's a place that we can get in God. And I'm telling you, it's a place. It's a place, brother.
Yeah. And yeah. I'm looking for that place, too. I'm going to keep searching until I get there.
Yes.
I'm going to keep searching until I get there. And when I do get there, it's probably going to be the best thing that ever happened to me.
Oh, it will be.
In life.
It will be.
But
no doubt about it.
That right. Said that I got to keep moving. I keep struggling and keep moving on. Mm-hmm. And I keep fighting. And I do fight. I have to keep fighting for my, fighting till I get there. And I'm always in a battle with myself, always fighting to get to where I have to get to. And we have to, I'm always struggling and I'm always fighting, even though I don't have to do it. But if I don't struggle and fight with myself to get to it, I have to give myself time to work out, and then because I just can't listen, well, blah blah blah. But I said, no, I think I'm gonna go ahead and fight, and that's the thing I love to do: fight to get till I get what.
But you know,
fighting myself. That's what I meant.
Paul was a great man of God.
Okay, 1 minute.
Paul was a great man of God.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have time, read the 7th chapter of Romans, and you will see how this great man that wrote the majority of the New Testament. How he struggled with his flesh.
I shall do it. Well, folks, it's getting the clock on the wall says our time is just about up. And this is Dr. Bass Claude Smith, and you've been listening to Stairway to Heaven with co-host Bishop Fly. And I like to say this before we leave the air. Hey, be happy, be cheerful. And remember, the mind's nothing but a garden. What you put in it grows. Bishop.
Father, we thank you once again for this time together. And we ask, Lord, that you may hear the cries of your people. Lord, that you would stand up, Lord, and answer their cries in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask that one that has a broken heart, Lord, those that are grieving, Lord, that you may ease that pain in the name of Jesus. Lord, we give you praise and we honor you and we thank you in advance. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Not my mother.